Hello, beloved. This is Pastor Steve Castle. I'm so honored that you've chosen to listen to us today. If there's any additional information that you need, please visit our website at www.belovedchurchillinois.com. We thank you that you are continuing to give God an opportunity to minister to your hearts. He has amazing, wonderful plans for your life. We would love to join you on the journey of you finding out the depths of the relationship that you could have with Him. You were created in His image for a beautiful purpose, and He wants to show you that purpose. We continue to believe God with you and for you to accomplish that goal. If you're in the area, please stop by. Remember, at Beloved Church, this is the place where you are greatly loved. God bless you. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Well, it is so good to be back here. I was just, I was in worship with you all, sort of, and I just had to share this because as I walked in here today, I don't know, I just looked at some of you from last year and you look different. I don't know, there's just something that sort of happened from this time last year to this time this year. I don't know whether you've sensed that, but I really sense a feeling of growth here. And I think that's sort of, I don't know whether that's personal growth or corporate growth or a bit of both, but there is something that I'm sensing that's been a real shift over this last year with you guys, which is absolutely awesome. And during worship, I just kept looking, and last year I can remember coming in here thinking, oh, that's really cool how they've like done it all. And I don't know whether it's just because we were more focused, we were teaching on colors, but I just sat there going, oh my days, this is purple and gold. And it just sort of, you know, it was just, I was sitting there in worship, and as I was thanking the Lord, I was thinking of, this is royalty, this is God's glory. And the vision I had was the fact that the sort of the purple sort of opened up, like the whole roof, it sort of opened up almost a bit like something that you'd see either in, I don't know, like a spaceship, you know, like different sections opening up. And as it opened up, this whole roof, this like cloud of gold glory was like hovering in this room. And I was just feeling the presence in here because of your glory. When we sang the song, Ryan, you know, the Savior, Victor, and you repeated that chorus, it was like, it was, the glory was just so thick in this room. And I was just like praising Him because He is so pleased with you. He is so pleased with you. And it was almost like I was, I can't almost take this in. Because, and it was just amazing. And I just felt I had to share that because I know Brian's got sort of the main core of the message. And then we want to come up and do some ministry with you. But it was just so profound that literally it was like this, these opened up and His glory came down. But it's not one of these things that, because I said to him, what's your message? What's the word you want me to deliver? And it's not the fact that He's going to come and go. It's the fact it's here and it's here to stay and it's resting here. And all you have to do is reach up and you can touch it. So we've got some stuff that we would love to for you guys to get some of this stuff, but we've always suggested donation because we just want to get the message out there. Okay, that is our hearts. We've got a couple of little giveaways that we would like to do today. This is, I'm not very technical when it comes to product. Okay, you have to bear with me on this. This is a flash drive. It's actually a 2-hour teaching. It's called trichotomy teaching, which is a word that Brian came up with, trichotomy healing, which means body, soul, and spirit. It was, I would say, it's just a posh word he found to try and make people go, what is that? So anyway, it actually means body, soul, and spirit. But what this does, it actually concentrates a little bit more on our soul because one thing that we've found a lot in ministry that You can keep coming up to the prayer line and keep coming up to the prayer line. But if you have a root issue in your soul that is blocking that healing, then you need to have freedom from that. So this is a real teaching on how to walk through things like unforgiveness and offenses and all those things that build those layers up in our heart and make our hearts hard to receive. Because we all know God wants us well. Amen. He's already paid for it on the cross. But sometimes because of the stuff we walk through in this life, we can't help but have this stuff just blocking what God wants to give us. So it's in here. It's the flash drive. There's an actual workbook that goes with it, which is a PDF, which you can print off. And it's also in CD form out there with the workbook. But it's something that you could do in a small group. If you listen to this, get a revelation on it, then go and teach it. That's what we say with all our stuff, because you will see people walk into freedom. So does anybody want this? I didn't see you give it away. Did you just fling it? Okay. This one is lenses. Whose lenses are you looking through? And this is a teaching that I did. And it was one of the situations we were walking through with our teenage son, healing journey that he actually went on, which was an interesting one. We had a very serious diagnosis from a doctor. And as soon as we had it, it was like, no, we're not accepting this. And it's sometimes you do put on these lenses when you hear these bad reports. So it's how we look through God's lenses rather than our own lenses and that type of thing. It's got a little bit of humor in it because it's me. I'm the funny one, just to let you know.
Yellow, blue, yellow.
So, you know, if you want this, again, it's got a little workbook in it, but it's predominantly sort of about how we walk through healing with the different lenses we put on. Am I going to just throw this? And this is our book. We're working on a few more products, so we're excited that hopefully next time we come back we have some other stuff for you that God's been downloading. This is very much along the lines of how we teach. If some of you know how we teach, it's very practical minded. So this isn't just a reading book. It's like a mini workbook. And there are questions to take you on a journey. I think you call it 101 of prophetic
ministry
really. So it's like a real basic, get yourself going. There's good questions in here. Again, you can use this in like study groups. I've got somebody actually over in England that's using it in a study group and they're having some great time through it. As I say, it's an interactive book. It's even got colour pictures in it, which I think is really cool. So does anybody want this one? I think James over there. There you go. Okay, so I will be back. But Brian's got
the funny one.
The funny one will be back. No, we just sort of felt when we looked at the message and that type of thing, I said to Brian, this is a revelation that you've had and we sort of studied it out together, but we sort of felt that Brian's going to sort of come and deliver the message. But what we said to the group that we had yesterday, the other thing God put it on his heart was we want to reignite people's purpose and vision today. You know, those lost dreams, those things that you've sort of thought was God gave you and then nothing much has happened, you know, those promises, we want to renew those. So we feel at the end we'll have some time of ministry. We're not sure what that will look like, just to give you the heads up. But we really want to just have some time of ministry with you guys, because it really is an honor to come back and just see you all again. And we just love to do this. And see how God moves in people's lives and that type of thing. So we will come back for some ministry at the end, or I will anyway.
Most definitely. Thank you. You guys doing good? Come on, that was a bit lame. You guys doing good?
Amen.
Amen. Are we not Christians? Aren't we supposed to be full of the joy of the Lord?
Amen.
Not sour lemons? Well, it depends. You guys aren't, but I may be sometimes. But no, thank you again, pastors, for allowing us to come and share. As I said, I absolutely love these two. We do share similar stories and similar backgrounds, I think, of just life and how we used to live life stupidly, I think. But, you know, when God gets hold of you, and as Steve and I know, if you're forgiven much, you love much. And I've been forgiven of loads. So, you know, as I said, I walked as an idiot for, 29 years. I know some of you already know my background, but I was 12 when I gave my heart to the Lord. And I was spirit-filled, but at 15, the things of the world were a lot brighter and a lot shinier and a lot more important. And I spent then a 26-year journey of living a prodigal son's life. And that's pretty much where it was. I ran after the things of the world. I chased money, mammon. I chased lifestyle. I chased absolutely everything that I could do hard and fast, and nearly burnt out on several occasions, nearly wrecked my marriage, wrecked my relationship with my kids, just because I was a workaholic, practically an alcoholic, and everything else went with it, just because I wanted to build my own little empire. And praise God, 26 years later, I had that Saul-Paul conversion back again, and we've been on this wild journey for the last 8, 9, 10 years. And all I'm going to say again is mums and grandmothers and fathers and grandfathers, carry on praying for those kids. Because it's like my mum said, I never spent a day where I didn't pray for you. And man, I could see it in so many cases of where I was in some interesting predicaments that could have left me in some pretty rough places and some pretty rough states. But I walked away from them. And, you know, like I said, my mum never ever stopped praying for me. But the thing was, is that only 2 years after coming back to the Lord, I then shipped out to the US. So she said, man, she said, I never wished that I sent you up to Caris Bible College in Walsall in England, where God obviously spoke to you and you're now on this journey. But it's like I said, well, I'm now around my father's business, not around my own business. And that to me is an absolute blessing to be around his business. But you know, all of those times that we get to walk through, and I suppose just get to a stage where you're thinking there's always more to life. There's always more that I feel that's within me. And so what does that look like? And the message today really that I wanted to share is actually, or what I've named the message, is the cutting edge of provision. And because sometimes there is the basis that when we get called or God shows us something and he takes us on that journey, that sometimes the areas of what we're perceiving that we're on this journey with God, we're always going to be in that place of bouncing around with sheep in the field and everything's going to be rosy, do we not? And sometimes the things that we get to walk through can be pretty difficult when we start the journey with God. And so really what I wanted to speak from today is an area that radical obedience brings radical rewards, but it can also bring radical challenges. And so for me, that's really where the message is. I suspect they're all thinking, oh no, don't. But for me is, you know, living a radical lifestyle is the only way to live. If you want a nice, squeaky, clean life, that's great. But don't expect you're going to see miracles and wonders and the things of God where literally that is out on a limb. It's quiet. So I really, on a scriptural level, is I just want to go to 1 Kings 17, 1-7. And, you know, there's two great prophets in the Bible that I just love to read about anyway. There are many, but for me, Elijah and Isaiah, we say Isaiah, but you guys say Isaiah. But those are the two prophets that I really love to read about in the scripture. And this is the one where he is at the brook of Childreth. And it says here, and Elijah the Tishbite, I'm going to read it out the New King James. And Elijah the because I'm English and I don't like all the these and the thous. Even though I'm English, it's just, for me, I just struggle with it. I don't know about you guys, but I struggle with it. I'm a simple man with a simple mind. So, and Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except at my word. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, get away from here, turn eastward, and hide by the brook of Cherith, which flows into the river Jordan. And there it shall you drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and stayed by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. And it happened after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. It's an interesting thing, the fruit of obedience, is it not? And the reason I say that is if you also look at Psalms 105:19, and this is about Joseph, there was an incredible call on his life. I mean, his life, when you look at it and you read about it, he had an incredible purpose, he had an incredible plan. And what it says in that scripture, however, until his word came to pass, the word of the Lord tested him. Until his purpose came to pass, and it came into existence, and the word was established in his heart, there was something working in that period and in that time to not only refine him to see what was in his heart, but also to refine him to take him to a place where God needed him to go to. But did that look pretty? No. And you look at the parable of the seed of the sower. Mark 4:17 says, and this is paraphrased, when tribulation comes because of the, what? The word. This whole notion of having a squeaky lifestyle and having a whole notion that everything's going to be great, I think is a notion that is, what do I say, somewhat stretched. Because I don't know if you guys have noticed, whenever you get called out or whenever you've asked to be done something, how many of you have been in that place you think, I've just gone backwards. Everything has just fallen apart. Everything that God's told me to do, I've now walked into it, and now it's just gone completely nuts. Am I wrong? Am I the only one? No. Praise God, because I thought it was just me. So, but no, I'm just saying, guys, this is just building up, because at the basis is when he gives you that word, when you know that he's spoken to you on something and you act on it, there is a place of obedience, but sometimes the challenges will come. And it's, what do we do in the challenges? What do we learn in the challenges? How do we grow in the challenges? You know, are we going to, like Andrew says, are you going to fall apart like a $2 suitcase? Or are you going to actually learn to see what's inside of you? You know, the words you speak, the way you act. And it's like I say to a lot of people is, you know, your words are powerful, as we know. But your words are like a tube of toothpaste. Once it's squeezed, you can't get them back in. So it's, what are you speaking in the times of challenges and in the times of those areas? See, we have a lot of difficulties in life, and all of us have been in those challenges, and the light, and what that does is expose things in and around us, but it gives God the grace to walk us through the straight and narrow pathways. Put it this way, without the ox and the cattle, the manger would have looked pretty clean, would it not? And so to me is that, you know, God loves to bring change. He loves to bring changes to people, to organizations, and to those areas. But sometimes change looks messy, does it not? See, God's a God of order. And there's always order that he's working through. But sometimes the changes that have to happen in us mess with our theology. They mess with our ideology. And sometimes, and I put it like this, is sometimes God offends our minds to see what's in our hearts. You may think that's weird, but, you know, if you've got messed up theology and messed up doctrine, believe you me, some of the stuff then when you're walking out of religion into grace can mess you up. And so it reveals what's in our hearts. But all of this stuff is for why? Because it's there for change. It's for us to grow. It's for us to be in that place. And so for me, it's some churches just want to clean the mess up. Give me a messy church any day of the week. Give me messy people any day of the week. And you watch the glory of God go to work. You know, religion is something that wants a squeaky clean church. God was never in the business of making squeaky clean people. You just look through the Bible, David, you know, all of Ruth and all of these people in the Bible, they had messed up lives. We're no different, but God can use that. Why? Because when he does clean us up from the inside out and does make us look squeaky clean, we have got power in our words and in our lives to actually build that out and give it to others. You know, and that's how I see this church is, and I was sharing this yesterday. I said, you know, give me a church in the rural areas apart from that. I mean, don't give me a mega church. Give me a church that's got a backbone and give me a church that actually wants to get out and change their community and change their area. And that's how I see community churches and rural churches in the US. I mean, on a pictorial basis for me is that, as I shared this with Pastor Steve yesterday, I see just like little campfires going off all over the US because there is revival and the backbone of the church is the rural churches. Amen. You guys. Amen. You know, you can impact more than what a huge mega church. And you thinking, well, they've got all the resources, they've got all the money. I don't care if they've got the resources and money in the world. It doesn't mean that they've got the right heart. But are you going to be obedient to the calling that God's given you? I mean, Jesus has given us all a mandate. He said, you know, go into all the world. He didn't say come and stay, did he? Just saying. You know, that's our mandate, guys, is to really be able to demonstrate and prove the perfect will of God. So what is the perfect will of God? To raise people from the dead. To cast out demons. To carry his kingdom. And that's you, young man. See, you carry the kingdom more than you know. You may want to disregard it. You may want to chuck it away, but believe you me, there is such a kingdom inside of you yet to be seen. Have you ever watched Thunderbirds, the cartoon? Look it up on YouTube and look at Brains. And that's how I see you. His name was Brains. Because you've been given an incredible mind by God. For a reason. Why? Because you're going to develop and build things. You see blueprints. It's not for a reason. You know, it's not hypothetical. You're going to be given stuff that there is to develop because you're going to build the kingdom. There's more in you that you can ever imagine at this point. But also I just sense as well that don't choose the first place to go that you think is going to give you the best scholarship. I just got a sense that God's going to show you the place to go. And it's not something that you may see or think or feel that it's just because it's all about a full scholarship. This is where he wants you to go because there are connections to be made. So be aware when you get the offers, and the offers will come, and they will come pretty quick. It's, I want you to spend the time and ask him, which one, Lord? And he's going to give you the answer. Okay. Amen. That's how we roll. So, let's go back to Elijah. When we look at this, the word he spoke actually affected him first. Did it not? He prophesied into the future that there's going to be no rain. So what happened? The brook dried up on him. I just find that funny. That actually the power in his words he didn't even realise. And it really did. You know, the food stopped and the brook dried up. And sometimes radical obedience takes you to a place more uncomfortable and messier than where it seemed before. But that's okay. But it's sometimes the words that we speak do prophesy into our future of what we're going to do. And there was a reason. And it's like us. I mean, I know, again, some of you guys have heard our testimony, but when we said yes to the things of God back in England and came here, man, we got the kitchen sink thrown at us. I mean, literally everything fell apart as soon as we got our feet into the US. And that was tough. And we had 3.5 years of walking some pretty heavy stuff. But again, it was all of those things. It really defined what was in us, what was going on, what we perceived, what we knew, and how was that going to look. But was it messy? Man, I was thinking, this is how it's going to be. My perception was, woohoo, we're off to the US, it's going to be awesome, and we're going to be doing this, and we're going to go to college, and we're going to love life, and the house is going to sell, and we're going to have this money to just, you know, cruise for the next 3 years. And little did we realize, 2 weeks of moving into the US, our house sale collapsed, and basically we were stuck without any finances for 3.5 years. But the word that God gave me back in England was, the house is to be sold, and by the end of the 3rd year, you're going to be debt-free. At that point, man, it just did not look like it. I mean, we had a situation, like I said, we couldn't work in the US anyway. This is what I'm saying, guys, is that there are some points in some cases that you are on the journey and on the pathway where the Lord has got you, and you know that you know that you know that this is your calling, this is your plan, this is your destiny, this is a part of your vision, but yet everything seems to just fall apart. And you're wondering why. But I just want to get into that a bit later on. So, you know, for me is, again, radical obedience takes you to many, many different levels, and even radical giving. Radical giving sometimes can leave you with a shortage, and you're thinking, God, you told me to give, now I've got nothing. And you're waiting, and you're waiting, and you're thinking, now would be good, Lord. It's like, come on, bring it. But you don't see the fruit of it at that point. And I think people think that if he's asked to give you something radical, that he's some cosmic slot machine, that, you know, you bung your money in, pull the handle of obedience, and out comes the reward. If that was the case, everybody in the world would be doing the same thing, would they not? So you have that seed time and harvest, and this is what we're talking about. It's the season between the deposit and the withdrawal, which really what shows what's inside of us, does it not? It's the season of when we actually turn that level of obedience or give, and the timing before the deposit actually then comes to pay its rewards. It's what goes on in between is what we want to be looking at and what is going on inside. Elijah prophesied that there'd be no rain, and he was sent to a stream that was going to dry up. And the funny thing is God never even told him. You know, there he says, go there, but I'm not going to tell you what's going to happen. And these are the things I think of, guys. So he said, they came every morning and every evening, correct, with bread and meat. Well, do you think he's going to be bringing an 8-ounce steak and fries and a nice bit of, you know, sort of crusty bread? Or do you think it was going to be roadkill? Just saying. You know, these are the things I look at, is that when I see ravens feeding off the road and they're going to be bringing him something, it's not going to be great, is it? It's pretty much going to be roadkill and probably stale, crusty bread. And by a brook that actually probably wasn't that clean. So obeying yourself into a test where you get into that place where if God doesn't come through, then you're done for, is probably a great place of obedience, because you're going to see some growth going on. And the other thing is sometimes we have a basis of living from resources. What am I trying to say? Sometimes we can live an easy life because we've got backup resources. And so living in a way of radical obedience when we have a plan B of resources doesn't sometimes show the basis of his miracles in the way that he should do and wants to, because we're just thinking, like you said, well, give all of your bank account. No, I'm just going to knock a zero off, and then that's fine. So there's all these times it's, you know, areas of how we perceive things and how we work through things is how we see what is inside of us at that point. Again, you know, this is where God's going to mess with our theology to see what's in our hearts. So what's in your hearts is going to be the question. And also when we look at verse 7, and let's just go back to verse 7. And it happened after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. And then we go on and it says, and then the word of the Lord came to him saying, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. So he arose and went to Zarephath. So there, here is a woman that basically was commanded by God to give to him, and she didn't even know what was going to happen. And so what I'm trying to say on this point is that when we have a plan B, sometimes there is a fear of man that can stop the resources of God, because we're always looking to man or looking to person to actually gain from, instead of walking through what God's got to walk through us to get us where we need to go. It's the radical obedience sometimes that we have to walk through to get to the other side. Elijah was in a complete place of humility, was he not? Again, he's in a position where the brook is dried up or is drying up, and those areas are happening to him, yet he was going to get sent off to the next place. And so in his place of humility, he still didn't know what was going to happen. And it says, for the Lord says that your flour bin will never be empty or your oil jar be dry as long as there is what? As long as there is no rain. That shows to me that there's supernatural resources and there's natural resources. Supernatural resources are the basis when you don't have anything, when you've given up everything, and now you watch the journey and the floods come in. But there is a time where it will switch and you'll come out of the supernatural into the natural. And that's when the supernatural really starts to head to a place of provision, until the natural starts to kick in. Sue and I saw this many, many different times and still do on our journeys. And just even recently, shall I share the one on the... So here we go. For us, just before Christmas, our wonderful son decided to wreck our car. So he went up the back of somebody and decided to total it. Praise God, he was okay, and so were the other people. But it left us in a very interesting position of only now down to one vehicle with three drivers. And so we got a little bit of insurance money, because this thing was an old truck, but we loved it. And so we decided to go ahead and buy a what we thought was a great vehicle. It was a VW turbo diesel, only done 130,000 miles. I knew the engine, I knew the person. Anyway, what happened was, 1,000 miles into it, the turbo blew up and we were looking at a $3,500 bill. So it's like, thank you, Jesus. So both of us had a response mechanism. And this is what I'm saying, guys, this is what I'm trying to get to, is in those times of radical obedience, you're still walking, you're still living in these situations, and provision will come from many, many different directions when we don't know it. We just need to keep walking and keep our hearts in a place which is totally connected to him. And so we had a situation where we knew the gentleman that sold the car, and we could have been really horrible. We could have said, you sold us a duff vehicle, basically. We're now I want you to pay for the repairs, especially only 1,000 miles into it. But we didn't. We said, God, you know, we release him, we release the situation, we bless him, we bless the family, all of those situations. We were having to borrow cars from different people to get us to different places. It was really interesting at the time, but then literally as we were borrowing vehicles to drive up and down to Woodland Park, one of Sue's friends phoned her and said, hey, I'm out of state, wasn't she? And so she said, borrow my car. So I dropped Sue off and went, great. And it was a white Subaru Outback. And so she borrowed it and was running up and down the hill for nearly a week. And Sue was just saying to the Lord, just driving up and down the hill. This is what I'm saying. She wasn't praying. She wasn't going, you know, declaring and asking. She said, Lord, I really love this car. She goes, I would really like one of these. She said, I'm wondering if this person would actually think about giving it to me. When she said to me, I went, yeah, right. Because it was a really new white Subaru Outback. And I must admit, it was very nice. But, you know, she felt that God just dropped into her heart, you're going to get a Subaru. She went, cool. But I'm saying she wasn't declaring, she wasn't asking, she wasn't seeking. She was just saying, Lord, I really like this car. So anyway, it came to nearly a week and Sue and I had to drop the car off. And she phoned the lady and said, hey, you know, I'm just going to drop the car off. She said, that's great. Whenever I'm out of town again, you can borrow it. And so Sue looked at me and she went, oh, that didn't work. But this is what I'm saying. This is the goodness of God. I mean, so we drove home. We were just in that place of thinking, man, we don't know what to do because here we've got a car that's in dry docks. We're still down to one vehicle. We had another friend that was lending us a vehicle for a while. And then out of nowhere, I get a phone call from a dear friend in California. And he said to me, Brian, he said, what are you doing with your car? And I went, don't ask. It's in dry docks. It's dead at the moment. Blah, 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 blah. And he said, you've been really on my heart this week. And so he said, you know, I've been praying and praying about this and I've been speaking to my wife. And he said, we have a vehicle in our garage. He said, it's got a mileage issue. But he said, we really feel that we want to bless you with this vehicle. And I said, well, does it run? And he said, yeah, of course it runs. And I said, well, great. That's twice as good as what I've got at the moment. So I said, so what's the mileage issue? And he goes, well, here you go, Brian. He said, I bought the car in 2013. He said, I drove it to California. It's pretty much sat in my garage for all of these years. I think I put 2,000, maybe 3,000 miles on it in the last 5 years. It's got 6,600 miles on the clock. And you know what he said next? It's a white Subaru Outback. You know, and I was a mess on the phone. I mean, honestly, I just broke down. It was like... So here is how I perceive it is, you know, I had a bit of a stinky attitude because I was thinking, God, what else? You know, we're on this journey, we're doing this, and we've been slammed with this, we've got this, and there was some other stuff going on as well, as you do. So my attitude wasn't great for that period of time, but I was saying, Lord, Father, even with a stinky attitude, you still blessed us. You still love us that much that walking in obedience of what we've been called to do, but sometimes we don't see what the end result's going to be or how it's going to play out. And I'm not saying that's going to happen for everybody, but for me it was just like, wow. You know, and that's what I'm saying, the cutting edge of provision sometimes is that you have to live in those radical ways or radical times to see the radical provision of and protection of God. To me, it's such a great way to live. It's not for everybody. I'm not saying that everybody gets to live on a limb, but it is still a choice of how we live life and how we want to live life. And it's the obedience that brings the reward. And that doesn't mean that you have to live a crazy lifestyle. It just means, are you willing to follow him? Are you willing to say yes when he asks you to do something? Are you willing and yielded to say, I don't understand this, Lord, but I'm going to step into that place anyway? I'm going to share something with you. How many of you ask questions of God? I mean, you're consistently saying, what do I do next? Where do I go? How do I do this? And those type of questions. How many of you ask those questions quite often in your walk? And I do the same. And so this was a number of months ago that I had this situation. And it's like you, I'm just always seeking his face, seeking his heart. Okay, Lord, what to do next? Where to go? What am I doing? And we're asking questions that are informational. We're trying to gain information, are we not? because we want to stay in that place of just being close to his heart and seeking his face in what we're doing. But how many of you get an automatic answer? Out of those questions, when they're informational, how many do you get an answer just like that? I would say, probably like me, 95% of the time, we never do. We may get it a couple of days later, or we may get it a few weeks later, or we may get it a few months later, and we may be driving the car, or we may be somewhere, and all of a sudden, bing, we get an answer to what the question was. So can I suggest this, is that if you're asking informational questions and you don't get an answer, maybe you're asking the wrong question. Duh, I'm a slow learner. Just saying. So I was in the shower, and this was a number of months ago, and I was doing the same thing. I was asking an informational question, and it was like, No answer? Okay. So, Lord, why am I not getting an answer? Son, you may be asking the wrong question. Duh. So for me it is, okay then, Lord, what question should I be asking you? Simple as that. I went, Jesus, what question should I be asking you right now? Bang, automatic answer. See, he's not informational, he's relational. He will give you the information that you need, but maybe he wants to speak to you about something completely different at that point in time. And it was. But it brings you into a place of relationship, because now you're asking him a question, what is on his heart for you, personally. That's how the conversation starts. I'm saying, guys, if it's a basis of that you're not getting answers, maybe ask the right question. And so that led me into a different position. And man, I've got so many notes, but anyway, God's good. So I was in the shower on a not too far a day from that one. And I was showering and I said, Lord, I've got to go and get some groceries. Who do you want me to bless today? I said, give me somebody that I can just go out and bless or just have a word for. And this is for you guys as a church, because I am no different to you. John 10:27 says, my sheep hear my voice. I am not a super duper, but I'm willing and obedient to actually say, yes, Lord. This day was slightly different. And here's the reason why. I was asking, saying, give me somebody that I can speak to, bless, pray for. And I went off and I went to King Supers. And I got out of our car and I walked into the store and I picked up a little basket. And I was walking around the vegetables and fruit, minding my own business. And in came a Catholic priest into the fruit and veg store. And he just lit up like a Christmas tree in the spirit realms. And the Lord said, I want you to give him a word. And I went, really, Lord? A Catholic priest. Thank you. So I was wandering around the veg stall as gingerly as I could, thinking, oh, and I didn't have a word. I didn't have nothing for him. And so he said, so the Lord just said to me, go. So he came walking towards me and our eyes locked. And I thought, this is weird because I have nothing. And so I walked up and I said, I just feel like the Lord's asked me to say something to you. And he said, cool. He must have been in his early 40s, I suppose. And all I had was one sentence. And that was it. And he looked at me and he said, thank you, brother, for blessing me today. And I went, thank you. Got my basket and I ran. As quickly as I could out of that place, because I was thinking, this is just really weird. So anyway, I just thought, oh man, I've got to get some other stuff. So I actually changed the basket to a cart. In the UK, we call them trolleys, but you guys call them carts. So I grabbed a cart. And then the download started. And as I was walking around, it was like for the next 5 minutes, it was about this Catholic priest. And I'm walking around going, oh, no, Jesus. And so this is what happened, okay? I picked up my stuff, I put it in the car, I went to the checkout, I cashed out, I went to the car, and I got in the car, and I put the keys in the ignition, and then the Lord said to me, "Where are you going, son?" "I want to go home." He said, "I've given you something to go and give that man." And I sat there, and I went, "I really don't want to do it." And then the Lord said to me, he said, "You asked me this morning, and I've given you something to give that man." He said, "Are you willing?" Amen. The car filled up with the presence of God. I mean, I could not move. And for some odd reason, I just started to weep. So, I turned off the ignition. I got out of my car, closed the door, and I said to the Lord, "If this is you, one of those stupid statements, I think." And I'm telling you, I'm a slow learner, yeah. So I said, "If this is you, then he is going to be in the last aisle in King Supers." And then I said, "Then I'll speak to him." So I just went along. "He's not in that one. He's not in that one. He's not in that one." And guess what? Just saying. He was in the very last aisle at the very top. And I went, "Jesus." But I could feel the compassion of God in my heart for this man. And it's not something that I would relish, or, well, I would relish it, but it's just a place of like, man, I'm not expecting the compassion for this man that I did. And I started to walk up towards him, and now I didn't have anything. I didn't have a car, I didn't have a basket, and it's like, man, this is weird. My brain is going system overload, tilt, you know, and that type of stuff. And he came walking down, and again, our eyes locked, and he was pushing his car, and I said, "Do you mind if I share something else with you?" Because I said, "There's a lot more that God has just been revealing and showing me about your life and what's to come." And so he said, "Yeah, sure." And so literally for the next few minutes, I pretty much said verbatim of what the Lord showed me and what he was giving me for that man. And here's the basis. He stood there in the middle of King Supers. Still messes me up now because it's like his arms were like this, and he said, "Pray for me." A Catholic priest in the middle of King Supers in an aisle with his arms wide open and said, "Pray for me." And I got to pray over this guy, and man, I just... We all get to do the same. I don't care whether he's a Catholic priest or a Hindi or a Buddhist or a Muslim, or whether he's your person in your local grocery store. And here we go, guys. I am not going to go home with somebody else's miracle in my back pocket. And that's something that I've learned from that day. That am I prepared to go home with somebody else's miracle in my back pocket? I asked God to give me that person, and I nearly blew it. But God was gracious enough to give me a second chance and to reveal himself in the way he did, sat in the car to give me momentum to go back out. I am no different to any one of you. But it's, are you willing and obedient to actually listen and move on something that you really feel is within your heart to go and share with somebody? You get to do this every day of your life. You have the ability, the authority, the intimacy to hear his voice and to share his heart with other people that transforms lives. Are you going to say yes? Or are you going to be like me that says, "Lord, I don't want to do this, but actually I went ahead anyway." You know, and from that day, Sue will tell you, I got home and I was messed up. I mean, I was booing and crying and snot and everything else, because it was just so much about the Father's heart. But also the basis of that, "Lord, I don't want to ever be in that place where I reject the possibility of moving forward when you ask me to. Are you? And I'm not saying this because I'm any different or any better than you guys. I'm just saying it is because you get to transform your environment. Whether you're at school, whether you're at college, or what have you. You may think, man, I'm going to look an idiot if I do this. But hey, I don't care looking like an idiot for Jesus because it's eternal. See, people are eternal whether you like it or not. And they're either going to go to one place or they're not. But you get to write history every day for somebody's life if you have the opportunity. And you, young man. See, one of the quiet ones, but to me you're under the radar. But man, you have got so much to give. And I was looking at, even at worship, you know, I've just looked across and you've got this top and there's almost like a white, it's a mirror image side by side. And what I just sensed the Lord is saying, he said, you have my mirror image. You just need to know who you are and what you've been given. See, I see you of stepping out and there is an evangelistic style of calling that's within you that yet is still to be established. But you have been given the ability to have the mirror image of Jesus. You're going to walk into some incredible places that is going to bring freedom. Your words are going to have power that as you speak will bring freedom. But you're also going to point them to the right direction. You are going to point them to Jesus. That may not seem right in your life at this point, and you're just thinking, oh no, why pick me out? But that's what I see, is that you are under the radar. God is actually raising you up like David. You know, David was crowned to be king at 12 or 13 years old. There was another 12 or 13 years for him to walk in obedience of what God was showing him, to fight the bears, to fight the lions, to take on Goliath. Why? Because then he walked into the greatest ever revelation of who God was for him when he became the king of Israel. You just need to grow into it, and he will show you. But I see such a sense of just evangelism on you. But you're the quiet one at the moment that likes to stay under the radar. Is that correct? You like to be in the background? And that's okay at the moment. But believe you me, it's not going to be long before he will call you out and said, son, it's now time to step up to the plate and play the game. But you're going to be a great young leader. And they're going to be listening to you. So it's what's in here. Ask him, Father, show me. Show me who I am. Show me the future. Show me what I'm going to be doing. Ask him the questions. Write it down. Date it. Put it in your Bible. Put it on your computer. Put it in your mirror. Just say, I'm going to be like David. Amen. Sorry. Are we doing okay?
Yeah.
Awesome. Man, I've lost my place. Statement. Sometimes you need to empty your jar out before you get what you need. Sometimes you need to pour out exactly what's inside here. Pour it out, you get in front of God and actually say, I don't care what my past has been, I don't care what my future looks like, I am now in a place to receive everything that you've got for me and more. Why? Because I get to give it out. But sometimes you've got to give it all away before you get what you get poured into, and where it doesn't end, or you have overflowing oil jars and flour bins that you can never, ever not empty. The greater and the more radical the obedience, the greater and more fruitful is the response, and the greater are the challenges of obedience, and that's just the way it works. I'm sorry to say, but again, I'm just saying, guys, the more that you want to walk in that radical lifestyle and that radical way, the more that you're going to see his presence, the more you're going to see his miracles, the more that you're going to see him meet you where you're at. Does that make sense? And like I said, if you like a comfortable lifestyle, then don't step out. Simple as that. And that's where we are. So what do we do in between these times of when we stepped out of this act of obedience and now we're in this season, a season of one day, one month, one year of just not seeing anything? Because is that true? That we've stepped out, things happen, and then we have this sort of massive rush and then all of a sudden there's nothing. There's this, what do we call it, this new anointing of faith that we've been given to step out, and then everything else seems to go flatline. And this was what was happening with Elijah. You know, Joseph came out completely capable of not only fulfilling his own destiny, but also helped save a nation from destruction. But it took him how many years to get to that place? At least 10. And that's what I'm saying. There's times when you are called out and you are called into this place, but yet you do not see the fulfillment of it. And I'm sure being by a mossy, smelly creek that was drying up wasn't particularly nice. But it was well worth it when he got to see the oil jars that never emptied and the flour bins that were always full. But at that point, when he was at that smelly creek, trying to drink stagnant water, it's not a nice place to be. But again, it revealed to him what was in his heart and where he needed to go and what he needed to do, which was completely just face upwards to his God and said, I don't understand this, but I know that I'm meant to be walking. These cycles of life, when you see breakthrough one week and then you see nothing and then a whole month goes past, we have a tendency sometimes, do we not, to get despondent? I know I did. And we get to see nothing, hear nothing, know nothing, and then we start questioning ourselves, did I really hear God? Did I miss him? Did I miss that? Am I that stupid? Why did I make that decision? And so we start praying and we start, you know, thinking about these things. And we start getting into that place of just thinking, man, why did I make that stupid, silly mistake? And this is a part of the journey that we're on. Again, it's revealing into us of what is going on within our heart when we make that decision. And we are born to live on the edge, are we not? We are born to live on the edge. We're not born for comfort. Well, I don't know. I may be born for comfort. Sue says I'm not born for speed. I'm born for sort of, you know, jogging along, not racing. So it's the tortoise and the hare. That's what I look at. Who won the race? The tortoise. The slow one. Not the one that can't run 100 metres in 10.5 seconds. I'm not built for speed, but anyway. And that's why I said I'm not built for speed, I'm built for comfort. But but we have to push through. You know, when the brook is drying up and we don't seem to be getting anything else from God, and I'm now drinking from a place that he's not fit to drink from, and I'm starting to eat the fruit of my own words and actions and thoughts, and so there seems nothing else for me at this point. Why? Because sometimes radical obedience can put you into a drought-like condition. Because everything that we're doing is we're being stretched and grown and pulled and just really because, again, God's trying to reveal something in us to show us how much is inside. Who are we going to trust? What, even though we're seeing things in the natural, is who are we going to trust in the supernatural to see the finish of what he's called you to? And too many people throw the towel in early, do they not? I mean, I nearly did a few times. You know, I've done that, I've done this, I've prayed for that, I've prayed for this. This has been something that's been bugging me all morning. And I don't know if it's for somebody at the moment. And I'm going to read this. Sorry guys, AV, Luke 11. And I'm going to start at verse 9. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he be given a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, or will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or will he give him a serpent? Or will he give an egg if he will offer him a scorpion? If you, then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit if you ask him? I've just got a sense there's people in this church that have given up praying. You've been praying and praying and praying and not seeing the end, or you're not seeing breakthrough, and you're not seeing the fulfillment of what you've been praying for. And he said, ask, seek, knock. And I'm saying to you, keep knocking. Jesus, I'm coming to seek you. Jesus, I've been asking. Jesus, I've been asking. And I'm knocking. You've given up too quickly. Whether that's healing, whether that's your finances, I don't care, but you've given up too quickly. You have not carried on knocking. Prayer doesn't change God, it changes your heart towards him. You don't want to see breakthrough, you get back to knocking. You want to see the fulfillment of what you've asked for, keep asking, keep seeking. Because it changes you. It just doesn't change the situation, it changes how you perceive the situation. You will see breakthrough. But you need to pick it back up again. You've laid it down. So if that's one of you that I'm talking to at the moment about your healing, about your finances, about your family situation, pick it back up again. He's asking you to carry on knocking. Because your heart will change, because you will see the breakthrough. And I'm just going to go back to this. Good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Don't ask for the end of the situation to happen, ask for more of the Holy Spirit. Because as you ask for more of him, he's going to give you what you need. It's going to change you. And it will change the situation, but don't ask, carry on asking for, I need to see the end of this, I need to come out of this. I know it's saying, Lord, give me more of you. Holy Spirit, give me more of you. Because with you, I can conquer all things. With you, in me, through me, over me, round me, and over my kids, and over my finances, and over my health, now I will start to see breakthrough. You see, we're not asking for more about the basis of the fulfillment of the situation. We're asking for the fulfillment of him in a greater revelation of who he is for us right now. Ask the right question. More of you, Lord. I want more of you. Father, show me who you are for me right now, because I don't understand what's going on. Show me who you are. Show me that you're my provider, that you're my healer, that you're my sustainer, that you're my rock, my fortress, my everything. You look in scriptures and I challenge you to go back into scripture, into every single area with the Israelites. And whenever they were in battle, whenever they were going to come up against being annihilated, being slaughtered, having issues, and all of those things, I challenge you to go and have a look at every single scripture, and I will tell you what the prophets say. There'll be water in the deserts. There'll be springs in the dry places. Everything that the prophets ever declared as a word over the situation was water. Their answer was water. So, flip back to New Testament. What is water? I rest my case. Luke 11:9. Father, give me more of the Holy Spirit, and you have your answer. See, prayer doesn't change God, it changes you, and the Holy Spirit gets to change you inside out. Because you start to see the perception different, because you have a God that's a everlasting God who is interested in seeing you victorious. He's not going to leave you in the place that you are right now. And you have a vision, you have a purpose, you have fire in your belly that needs to come out. You need to let him out. Sir, there is such the Holy Spirit in you, and he's crying and saying, let me out. Let me out. Let me out. There's people that I need for you to go and change. But in the meantime, I'm here to change you. Let me out. Show me more of you, Lord. And I'll let you out. See, it's about radical obedience. And radical obedience doesn't mean that you have to go on a wild journey. It's just about saying, yes, Lord. When you have nothing else to give, and you say, give me more of you, he will take you to another place. And ask him, show me, Lord, who you are. Okay? There's a greater revelation of his heart for you that is going to be coming over the next, I would say, 3 to 6 months. And you're going to get just radically slammed by the presence of God. And I just see it all over you as just the presence of God. His heart for you is huge. You just need to say yes. Why? Because he's got other people to show you that you'll be pouring it out to. And I see you also with a younger generation of kids, of just being that in that place of being able to shed the Father's heart and the Father's love for the younger generation. And especially young teenagers is one which I just see you ministering to. But there's going to be a radical encounter before that starts. So just be asking for it. How are we doing for time? What time do we normally stop, Pastor? Are we all doing good?
Yep.
I am. I mean, I'm having a great time, but I'm just thinking, man, whew. Somehow pushing into the word of the Lord will reveal the bounty of what he has for us next and the endless supply of his grace and provision. See, and here we go again, this goes to another level. So when Elijah was taken and he was asked to go and see the woman, I suspect, and I'm thinking how I would be thinking, great, I'm off to see a woman that's going to give me steak and potatoes. Come on. Apple pie and ice cream. Yes, Lord, she is going to be my saving grace. She's going to be the one that's going to fill my belly up with all these good foods. And what happened? He turned up and there was a woman who was in a worse place than what he was. Just saying. that sometimes we have these preconceived ideas and agendas and situations where we're thinking that this person is going to be the saviour of what we've got. And fortunately, the woman did obey God's command and obeyed the command of Elijah. And we know the end of the story. But what I'm saying is that when he arrived at that place, thinking that God is actually now going to take him to yet another place, that place is going to be great. But actually, it was an even worse position because this woman was just about to kill herself with her son. Pretty miserable situation, hey? Pretty dire. But what a place to see the glory of God arise. Because Elijah had a word. Elijah was given a word from God. And he knew, no matter what he saw of what he was seeing, that word was going to change everything. That's why it's so powerful, because one word can change everything. And a lot of the time, you guys have words inside you that can change everything. But are you going to be obedient to speak the words that can change everything in a drop of a hat? I think when I was here last time, it was like David. David turned 600 men on a dime. They were going to basically kill him, and then he turned them on a dime and told him to go get his people and his children and his women, and then he was crowned to be king of Israel. Sometimes your biggest challenges will bring the biggest rewards, and you will see the glory of God in that situation, will you not? See, I'm just finishing off this because I would really like to do some ministry time. Our circumstances cannot change what the word of the Lord says, but these circumstances can change and let us see the world and that word come to pass. Whether this is in your finances, in your business, in your family, in your healing, we have to adjust our lives and thinking to his word, not adjust the word to the way we think and the way we live. Do you want me to repeat that? Because to me, that is the kicker. That's the kicker of the whole of this message, is we have to adjust our lives and our thinking to his word, not adjust his word to what is happening in our lives. His word will trump everything. Whether we see the manifestation immediately or whether we go, keep seeking, keep asking, keep knocking. The reward of waiting is worth it when we see the glory that will come from it. Verse 24 says, the woman said, now I know by this that you are the man of God and the word of the Lord is in your mouth and true. But isn't it funny that she could have seen all of that oil and all of that flour, yet it took the death of her son and the raising of her son to think that he is actually a man of God. Sometimes we miss the basis of what he's trying to do and how he's trying to do it in a different way. But the woman was a slow learner, obviously, like me, because it took something else for her to believe that Elijah had the word from God and was a man of God. You guys really need to know and to ask and to see not just the massive things, it's the small things of what he's showing you on a daily living basis. And that's how I perceive it now, is that I wanted to see all these massive things come to pass and all these massive miracles. And yeah, that while they're great, actually the daily living with a daily God is the biggest miracle that we could ever have. It's the everyday living with an everyday, every present God is the most wondrous miracle that we could ever live. Getting up in the morning and saying, show me, Father, who you are for me right now. So you get to live that every single day. And I was even talking about this yesterday, Psalm 17:15 in the message. Sorry, AV guys again. But can you pull that up? Because to me, again, I just want to show you this scripture because it's one for you. For when you go to bed, that you can be victorious even before you go to sleep. Because it's how you get up in the morning is how you're going to win the day. But you can do it even before you go to bed. It's Psalm 17:15 in the message. See, everything that he's given us already, everything we have for victory.
But we don't realize sometimes until we scratch the surface again of what he's truly trying to say. And it's like I said yesterday, how you go to bed is how you get up in the morning. And so Psalm 17:15 in the Message says, "And me, I plan on looking you full in the face. When I get up, I'll see your full stature and I live heaven on earth." Come on, guys. That's telling me that if I can go to bed, I can get up in the morning, see him full in the face and see his stature, and I get to live heaven on earth. I don't care about radical circumstances that come against us now. I get to a place where I get excited because now it's God. I know it's happening. I know I'm in this situation, but I get to live heaven on earth. Because I know that you are a faithful God. No matter what I'm walking through, if I carry on seeking, asking, knocking, then I am going to see the fruit and the rewards of what you have already given me through Jesus. He's paid for it all, has he not? So why wouldn't you want it? You know, flesh was torn off his back. He was crucified to pay for healing. He was crucified to pay for poverty. He was crucified to pay for everything that goes on in our humanistic life. Why wouldn't we just want to take it? If he's paid for it, I'm going to have it. Why would I want to go and pay for it myself if it's already been paid for and I can just say, thank you, Jesus, for giving that to me? See, to live as a son and a daughter is probably the one of the most radical miracles that we get to do. It doesn't matter about the circumstances. The circumstances are the circumstances are the circumstances. But you get to change them because as you change your perception of him and ask more for the Holy Spirit, you will see the breakthrough thereof. Don't tell me it doesn't work because I've lived it. And I still live it. That's why I wanted to share about the car situation, because we still walk through challenges, we still have life stuff thrown at us, we still have financial, sometimes things get pushed at us, we have family come against us, we have all of these other areas, but yet I will say, Lord, give me more of you. And that's where I'm going to stop. Amen.
Okay. So I have one scripture, Isaiah 60 verse 1. So. And this has sort of been bubbling up since worship. So it's saying, "Beloved church, arise and shine, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you." It's saying, "Beloved church, arise and shine." It's asking you to arise and shine. So I'm asking you to get up and arise and shine. And I just release that now over Beloved Church. I thank you that, Lord, that your glory has called this church. And we say in this scripture, Beloved Church, arise and shine. And I just feel I want you all to say this with me. Beloved Church, arise, shine, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon us. All right. Again, Beloved Church, arise and shine, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon us. Amen. And I feel that's a declaration that the Lord came down from heaven today when I saw that vision in worship. And it was like he's calling that out on you now. That this is your time to go out. It's your time to arise. It's your time to just connect more, not necessarily with each other, but with other people. And he is going to open those right doors because he has anointed each and every person in this room. It's not just for the group leaders. It's not just for the people that do the Bible studies. It's not just for the people that have been called to do worship or usher. It is for every single person in this church. He is commanding this unity through you all. The other thing that I saw was like, it was like a gold cord that he is threading through each and every one of you. So you need to be open, and I think you'll find there are going to be different relationships that are going to be connecting, not only within this group, but outside. So again, this is this is something that, I mean, it's up to Pastor Steve, but I really feel this is going to be something that for you to do with your church is when you come together, you communally say this scripture, because that's what he's been calling you out today. I felt that was what he opened up during worship for you all. It is coming into that unity to know that you have all been called to arise and shine.